Well, obviously, we are here tonight to focus on what took place almost 2,000 years ago on a hill outside the city walls of Jerusalem. Jesus, the God-man, the one who was 100% divine in nature and 100% human in nature, was executed on a Roman cross. The cross is at the very heart of all that we hold dear as Christians. In the words of John Wolford, "No event of time or eternity compares with the transcending significance of the death of Christ on the cross. Other important undertakings of God, such as the creation of the world, the incarnation of Christ, his resurrection, the second coming, and the creation of the new heavens and new earth, become meaningless if Christ did not die." So it is right that we focus on the cross regularly and consistently in life and in ministry. And it certainly is good to have a special service like this where we can focus on the cross in such a concentrated way. I want to just take a few moments with you tonight to help us all remember some of the reasons the cross is so important to us. Number one, Christ's sacrificial death was the ultimate purpose of the incarnation. In other words, the reason the eternal Son left heaven and the glories of heaven and all the prerogatives of being divine and came to earth and took on human flesh was to die this way on a cross. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Christ himself said this, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." He said himself, "This is the reason I came, to die, to give my life as payment, a ransom, because of sin." Second, this death is a picture of a very important exchange. It's because this death was necessary so that sinners can be reconciled to God. We are born alienated from God. All people are alienated from God. Scripture even says we are counted as his enemies. So we need to be reconciled to him, the God who created us. And to be reconciled, we need two things to happen. And this is what feeds the idea of exchange. We need forgiveness, for example, on one hand. Forgiveness of our sin. This comes one way, due to the death of Christ. God himself is the one who determined that. God himself is the one who determined that without death, and a particular death, by the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. That is our problem. That is what makes us separated from the God who created us, born that way. That is why the Scripture considers us God's enemies, whether we see that or not as we grow up. It's because of our sin. Our hope for that is to be forgiven. Listen to Matthew 26, verse 28. "For this is my blood of the covenant," Christ said, "which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sin." That's the answer for the sin problem. There's nothing we can do about it to erase it. We can't do enough good to offset it. Our only hope is to be forgiven. But that's part of it, what we need to have a relationship with the God who created us. We need forgiveness, but we need something else. We need righteousness. To stand before God, to have a relationship with him, we must have what God requires, and that is righteousness, and it is perfect righteousness. No sin ever in thought, motive, word, or deed from the time of conception till the time we die. Perfect righteousness. And that is therefore something we will never have. But Jesus did have that. He came to earth and he lived the perfect life that we could never live. He obeyed perfectly in thought, motive, word, and deed, every aspect of the law of God. And he credits that righteousness that we need, he credits it to those who trust in what he did in his life and what he did on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 comes to mind. It says this, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He, God, made him, the Son, Christ, God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This verse is perhaps the clearest and most succinct declaration in the whole Word of God of what theologians refer to as vicarious or substitutionary atonement. That God made Jesus a substitute for us, the sinners who are alienated from God. God made Jesus a substitute for us to pay for our sin. He took our sin upon himself, as you heard read tonight from Isaiah chapter 53. He pays the debt of that sin so that we can be forgiven. But that's not all. We receive his righteousness credited to us. We get both sides of what we need, forgiveness of our sin and credited righteousness. So those who come in faith to Christ, but it is a repentant faith, a humble, repentant, submissive faith, those who come to trust in Christ, trusting him alone for the forgiveness of their sin, it is to those sinners that God declares righteous. And this is possible only because Christ's death paid the penalty for their sins, and his righteousness is credited to them or imputed to them. This is possible only because Jesus lived a perfect life and then he went to the cross to take our sins upon himself. That is the exchange. The cross is a picture of this wondrous exchange. Our sins placed upon him, so the debt is paid and his righteousness credited, imputed to us. Third, the cross confirms God's sovereignty over every aspect of Christ's coming to earth and his ministry, including his death. In other words, the cross was not a disruption of the divine plan. The cross was not an accident. The cross was not a mistake. It was exactly what God had designed from before time ever began. Listen to Acts 2, verse 23. Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2:23. This man, Christ, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. Who executed the Son, Christ? Certainly it was godless men nailing him to the cross, but Scripture says it was actually, according to this, he was delivered over by the predetermined sovereign plan and foreknowledge of God. So the cross reminds us of that, that God is sovereign over all of that. Fourth, the cross is a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. We've heard it in Isaiah 53, but there are other passages. I'll read just one portion from Psalm 22, just a few verses, a psalm that talks about the coming Messiah and what would happen to him. Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Written by the psalmist, but those are the very words that Christ said on the cross. It goes on. Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Verse 16, a band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. Verse 18, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. What happened to the cross was a fulfillment of not only God's predetermined plan, his sovereign will, his decree, but therefore what was prophesied to happen in the Old Testament. Fifth, Christ once for all sacrifice is part of what is central then to preaching. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 23 and 24. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Those who believe the gospel message about Christ, those who trust in Him alone, to them the cross represents the power of God and the wisdom of God. That's what we preach, Paul says, ultimately. Christ crucified. And lastly, number six, the cross then ends up being a wonderful revelation of God's attributes. For example, just a few, in His death, Christ supremely revealed the holiness and righteousness of God. God is a holy God. He hates sin. He cannot just wink at sin. He says in His word, the wages of sin is death. And so we see His holiness, His hatred of sin, and His own righteousness. At the same time, we see the love of God, which prompted the sacrifice. He loved the world of lost sinners, John 3:16 says. The world of lost humanity. There is this love for lost humanity that moves God to give the Son. We see His holiness, but we see His love. Along with that, His grace and His mercy. Grace giving us what we don't deserve, and mercy not giving us what we do deserve. In a similar way, the infinite wisdom of God is revealed. No human mind would ever come up with a plan of redemption like this. Only an eternal mind, the mind of God, a God who's perfectly wise. His holiness, His righteousness, His love, His grace, His mercy, His wisdom, His justice and His wrath. Again, He's a holy God, but He's also a perfectly just God. To be just, He must punish sin. He has holy wrath that must be expressed toward it. We see that in the cross. And yet there's that other side again of His love and grace and mercy, and we can add to that His faithfulness. His faithfulness to His own people to take care of their sin problem that they might be reconciled to Him. So yes, we have a special night like this to focus on the cross, though we do it repeatedly every time we observe the Lord's table. Though we think of the cross daily because of what it means to us. No wonder Paul said this about the cross, Galatians 6:14. May it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. He said this, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But inherent in all of this is an invitation to the lost world that this is the only way to be reconciled to God. The invitation is trust in Him alone. Turn from trusting in self and sin and turn to Him to follow Him as the Lord of life. Here's how it's worded in John 3, verses 14 and 15. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man, Christ, be lifted up, meaning the cross, so that whoever believes, meaning trust in Him alone, whoever believes will in Him have eternal life. That's why it's called good news. Let's pray. Father, we do say hallelujah for the cross. We do say thank You for the cross. Lord, there was no hope for us as sinners. No hope to ever even the score. No hope to ever do anything to merit Your mercy and Your love and Your faithfulness and Your forgiveness. But You are a gracious God who loves to forgive repentant, believing sinners. Thank You that in the cross we see all of this expressed, our great need, forgiveness of sin and righteousness, and Your great solution in Your Son. We trust that You will be glorified and He will be pleased as we remember that great sacrifice at the Lord's table. In His name we pray. Amen.